Now, Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1 and Tide991.com.
Well, let's get right into this conversation. Sometimes you want to do a little intro, but when you got the man, the myth, the legend, the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, you get right to it, and that is Mr. Eli Gold. Eli, welcome into Houston and Huber this morning.
Gentlemen, good to be on your show. Hope everything's going well for you.
It is going well. To my left, I got Ben George in here with me. Barron is my normal running mate, but he's out on assignment. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to be with us. Big weekend coming up in terms of racing. When you look at the Daytona 500, and Eli, every time I call the football building, you're recalling Eddie Lacy, 5-4-3-2-1. I mean,
touchdown. Right.
When you look at these two sports, what is the comparison of calling Daytona 500 and the many national championship games that you've had the opportunity to call?
Well, the only comparison is that all of the events are huge. They are national, if not international, in scope. That's really where the comparison ends. Obviously, number one, the sports are so totally different. And number two, my approach to the broadcast is so different. When I'm doing a Bama game, I mean, there's no question I want Alabama to win. I'm doing the Alabama broadcast. I'm a Bama fan. That's, you know, I'm living and dying with the guys. When I do Sunday's Daytona 500, I don't give a rip who wins. I really don't care. I am the broadcaster for all 43 drivers in the field and for all of their fans. I don't have a rooting interest. All I hope for going in on Sunday is for a safe race, so nobody gets hurt, obviously, and for a competitive race, so it helps that 3.5-4 hours go by without, you know, a lot of strain on my part. I want to have a good, fun, exciting product to talk about. But I don't want to say I'm emotionless because I am a racing fan, but I'm not a fan of any of the drivers in particular. I don't want that guy to have to win. So it's a whole different approach. You know, for the Bama games, I'm emotionally wrapped up. Here, I'm just hoping for a safe race and a competitive race.
Eli, in most sports, the granddaddy of them all, the biggest event of the sporting season is at the end. Before the recent rule changes, and now you can still argue that, but the Daytona 500 has always been like the biggest event.
It's unusual.
And they start the season off with that. How does that play into the season and preparation time?
Well, as far as preparation time, you have what limited off season there is, because obviously NASCAR goes from February until November. So there's a very limited off season when you take out the banquet time and the Christmas and New Year's time and all of that. But in that limited off season, the teams are down here in Daytona testing, preparing to be at their very, very best right out of the box. So it's different. But, you know, NASCAR has always taken the approach of after the off season, you come out of the box with a giant bang, come out with your biggest event, get the newspaper coverage, get the special section in USA Today, get all the attention on Fox, on NBC, on ESPN, all of that, and then go on from there and then rebuild in the middle of the season on the championship run towards the end of the season. So, you know, they feel they get two bangs for their buck. The start out of the box like a cannon with the Daytona 500, not with some exhibition race or some race in a small market, but come out with your biggest event and then get another bang for your buck as you now start to rebuild towards the season-ending run for the championship. So it's just a different philosophy, but obviously it has stood NASCAR very, very well for many, many years.
The voice needs no introduction, but we're talking with Eli Gold, who's in Daytona this weekend. He'll be calling the big race on Sunday. And Eli, one of the biggest storylines this week is the pole position. Austin Dillon, the number three car, back on the pole. And I thought it was interesting. I read what you put out on Twitter talking to somebody this week, and you look at this a little differently. Everybody is very nostalgic about the car being related to Dale Earnhardt, but for you, it's not the same way because Dale was much more than just a car.
Yeah, he was more than just a car and a number. And, you know, NASCAR is different than most every other sport, certainly than the stick and ball sports, where in most sports, you can't retire numbers. Well, NASCAR doesn't do that. They don't retire numbers. The numbers are owned by the team. Richard Petty Motorsports owns the number 43. Richard Childress Racing owns the number 3. When Darrell Waltrip came into the sport and wanted to run number 17, as he always had during his formative years, to get that number 17, he had to buy it from a journeyman racer by the name of Roger Hamby. And, you know, we even see that sometimes in the NFL where running backs will come in and they'll try and buy a particular number from a teammate. But, you know, the number 3 has been driven by Junior Johnson, by Buddy Baker, by Richard Childress, by Ricky Rudd, by Dale Earnhardt. So they just, you know, there's more to it than just the number. It's who the person was.
Eli, as you say, they get the bang, which I never thought about it this way. They get it at the beginning with Daytona 500. Then you kind of get the lull in the summertime, but then they're able to start pushing the race toward the Cup at the end.
Right.
What do you think about the new changes in terms of them tightening or I guess increasing the competition in the seriousness of winning those Cup races?
Well, you know, I guess I'm a traditionalist. Maybe it's generational. You know, I'm closer to 60 than I am to 50. So maybe I'm slow to accept some change. But, you know, let's face it, the crowds, although still outstanding, have not been as overwhelmingly spectacular as they have been over the last number of years. The other factor is NASCAR, unlike Alabama football, for instance, let's use that as an example, every 5 years, the fan base age of Alabama football fans remains the same, because as the great-grandpa and the grandfather regretfully die off, well, then a new generation of Bama fans is being born into those same families. And it's good. That's true also for Auburn, for many collegiate franchises, Kentucky basketball. It's a self-perpetuating fan base. For NASCAR, however, they have found that over the course of the last 5 years, their fan base has aged 5 years, which means when the older generation is dying off, they are not getting the new generation of fans. They're not able to attract the Gen Y people of today who have, you know, kind of like my daughter, God bless her, she has the attention span of a flea. You know, and it's tough to get people. And my daughter went to her first race when she was 6 weeks old. She grew up around the sport. She traveled with my wife and I, you know, from coast to coast and around the world following race cars. But you can't get her and her boyfriend to sit down and watch a 3.5 hour, 4 hour race on television. So NASCAR is trying to massage things to make it a little more agreeable to the Gen Y audience. To the people who in a few years won't even know what a television is, but instead will watch their video being delivered to them on a handheld device, they're trying to find and do things to make it a little more exciting for the fans who are, the younger fans in particular, who are demanding that instant gratification. There's got to be something on the line right now. What is it? And that's why they're making these adjustments. You know, some fans appreciate them, some don't. But the ultimate bottom line, even with the new qualifying format, we now have qualifying other than here in Daytona. But for all the rest of the year, qualifying is going to be with many cars on the track at the same time, all condensed down into 1 hour. The reason being that single car going around the track at Talladega, taking 2.5 to 3 hours to complete with a large field and a huge track, is just not attractive to the young fans, and it's then no longer attractive to the TV and radio audiences. So now NASCAR is going to this elimination style of qualifying, which we won't explain here now, but nevertheless, they're going to this elimination style of qualifying, all crammed in to 1 hour. It makes for a nice, tidy television show, a nice, tidy radio show, and maybe the people with no attention span will hang around for an hour to watch. So they're trying.
Well, hopefully it works out for them. I know it's a popular sport in this area. I want to get your thoughts real quick, Eli, on the NFL Combine starting now. There's a lot of Alabama players there. Talk about what this class, how you saw these guys, this group with A.J. McCarron especially, but this group that's won 3 national championships, most of these guys. What do you think about when these guys are leaving? What are your thoughts on these guys?
The immediate thought is something I shared with Coach Saban at some function we both attended a few weeks ago. I said, you know, we must be getting a little older because it seems like you were just out recruiting these guys and now they're leaving. And he was quick to agree with that. So that's what I do. What I remember is watching them develop, watching them improve. And, you know, I privately thank them for, you know, giving me a magnificent ride for these last number of years. And the national championship rings that the university was kind enough to include me in. But, you know, I'm just thrilled to see these guys, watch them mature, watch them become better people. And, you know, and it's wonderful. You know, I do a lot of NFL games on the weekends on radio on Sundays, and there's nothing better than being able to go down to the field before the game or into the locker room after the game and, you know, talk to guys who, you know, I know from Tuscaloosa. I mean, there's nothing better than that, to see them doing so well, and it's just, you know, it gives you a nice warm fuzzy feeling as a true fan of the organization, of the players, of the team, and of the university. It just gives you a nice warm fuzzy feeling to seeing these guys do well. You hate to see them move on, but obviously that's part of the collegiate game.
One last question, Eli,
sure.
Regarding A.J. McCarron. You've not just been the voice of the Tide, but you've also been a fan of the Tide. Where does A.J. Rank amongst the quarterbacks and just the players in general in terms of importance to the university?
As far as importance, he is right up there among the absolute top. And, you know, I don't want to say it's a trap question because it's not, but it's a generational question,
mm-hmm.
I think. The older the questioner or the person who's being questioned, you know, they're going to say, man, yeah, he's great, but you should have seen Namath and Stabler and Richard Todd in their heyday. You know, obviously some are going to say, you know, I think it's all of your frame of reference. To me, you know, AJ has done more than anybody. He is, you know, now again, you're not necessarily looking at statistics, although statistically he has as well. But you know, everybody has their different way of evaluating things. Let's just put it this way, on that exceedingly short list of great Alabama quarterbacks, he is on it. You know, does he have more championships than this guy? Yes. Are his stats better than this guy? Yes. You know, but in the day that guy played, the game was totally different. How do you compare a wishbone quarterback to a pro-style quarterback? I mean, everybody you ask is going to have a different frame of reference, but everybody is going to have the same names on that ultra-short list. So, yes, AJ is, if not the all-time greatest quarterback in Alabama history, then somebody will say he's number 2. Somebody will say he's number 3, but he's always on that list of the top couple or 3, no question about it. He's Denny, and he's a wonderful young man. I mean, you know, when you go looking for him and you find him in the children's ward spending time with kids, you know, that's what, on top of everything else, makes him a great person and a great representative for the university. So I'll take AJ on my team anytime. Let's answer it like that, and that'll handle everybody from any generation who's listening. I'll take AJ on my team anytime.
Well, speaking with Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and calling the Daytona 500. Eli, when it comes to broadcasters, you're definitely on that exceedingly short list of all-time greats, and we appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to join Houston and Huber.
My pleasure. You guys take care. Tell Barron I said hello when he gets back.
I will do it. Roll Tide.
Thanks, Eli.
Well, hey, what else do you say when you get a chance to talk to Eli Gold? He's one of the best in the business, and that I call that crystal gold. I don't know how you describe that voice, but you definitely have no question that you're listening to one of the best in the business. Well, when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to put the finishing touches on Houston and Huber. And don't forget, we're going to be giving away a pair of baseball tickets. Going to have a cue to call as soon as we come back from the break. Once again, you listen to Tide 99.1, the home of Alabama sports.
This is Houston and Huber on the new Tide 99.1
and Tide99.1.com.